Look at your neighbor and say, this is quite a night.
This is quite a night.
Look at another and say, this is a new year.
This is a new year.
It's a new year.
Amen.
Look up and say, now.
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 The days of awe are here.
The days of awe are here.
The next 10 days are going to be days of awe, meaning open revelations to awaken and to give you instructions. They will be important. And I can tell you that there have been years where the days of awe left my mouth hanging for quite a while. And I won't go into details. But I want to talk to you about the Feast of Trumpets. I want to talk to you about what he wants. The very first scripture is in Deuteronomy, which is what I heard this evening. And we're going to go to chapter 16, just a few verses, two actually to be exact. And this is the Holy Spirit speaking. And he's talking about Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Then he says, on verse 16, 3 times a year all your men must appear before the Lord, your God, at the place he will choose. At the place
he will choose.
Not you choose. He will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man, hear me, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Hear me when I say, according to the way that the Lord your God has blessed you. Not according to your wallet. Not according to your brain. But according to what? The way the Lord your God has blessed you. Why did he bless you? So that you can bless him back. Why is he giving to you? Because he wants you to keep reminding yourself that he is your God.
Amen.
Now, the next place where I want you to see is Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah had repaired and put back together a lot of things, and you can go back and check all that out. But now it's the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? I showed you the calendar, and today is the first day of the new year and the new month. From God's perspective, in the last verse of chapter 7, it says, when the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square. There's your confirmation, Gail. One. One people, one bride, one church. One. Our God is one. As one man in the square before the water gate, they told Ezra the scribe to bring out the books of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Notice it's again the Lord is commanding. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was up of men and women, made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. So I'm being kind to you guys. Okay? As he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Besides him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Anaiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Maiah, and on his left were Padiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashum, and if you don't think this is a tongue twister, you've got news coming. Hashdana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord and the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen," which means "I agree, I agree." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodeah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jezabad, Hana, Paliah, instructed the people of the law. While the people were standing, they read from the books of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, okay, I just had a little vision. I'm going to kind of break this up because in a season in my life, when I was involved in the charismatic renewal, there was a conference that was given by some of the leaders of the Roman Church, and they charged us $20-something per person per night for this training. It was only available to the leaders, and my wife and I were both leaders, but we couldn't both leave, so I was the one that was going with my friend. Okay? Well, when we sat in the first session, it was recorded, and they gave us, I think it's 5 or 6 words that, as far as I was concerned, I had never seen in the dictionary. And then they gave us the explanation of what they meant, and then they taught us according to those new words. Well, if you think that it wasn't confusing, you've got news coming. Because now you've got a new vocabulary, okay? A new understanding of these words that are being pressed into you, and you're expected to change your course of life according to these new instructions with these matching words. That was my first night. And I drove home with my friend and I said, "This is not funny. How do you feel about this?" And my friend said, because he was the one that actually introduced me to the Holy Spirit, Kimmy says, "I am so overwhelmed. These teachers have such awesome degrees, but you can't understand what they're talking about. You have to understand and look up in your book the new meaning. So obviously, the byproduct is confusion." Okay? So I was doing okay with that, and we drove home, and the next night we went back for the second session. Well, that one was very similar with a new set of words. So I wrote those down with their meanings, okay? But the clincher was that this one lady said, "I have a group of cassettes available that you can take home." And she said, "It'll teach you how to have Bible studies." So that was kind of interesting, even though the message was a wee bit confusing. So I took a couple of cassettes, my buddy took a couple of them, and we went home. And on my way, I obviously couldn't wait, so I put the first cassette in there. And here were the instructions to have a Bible study according to these leaders. You get a couple cases of beer, six packs preferably. You sit in your backyard, and then you entertain your friends and open your Bible to all the places that are desirable, hopefully in the New Testament. Well, if you don't think that I had a problem, that I didn't really start getting angry, you got to remember my parents were alcoholics. Or you could get a half a case of wine and entertain your friends with cheese and crackers, and then you open your Bibles. Because by then, they'll be calm and cool and collected and be able to understand the Word. Well, do you think I went to the third session?
No.
Oh, yes, I did.
Did you?
Oh, absolutely, with an attitude.
Oh, wow.
A very fiery attitude. And this was a woman with high degrees, and I probably shoot her up a couple more degrees in fire, because I was so angry, because I listened to that cassette with my wife. She couldn't believe it. A couple of my friends couldn't believe it. And I said, and these are leaders. And what are they advertising?
Drink thinning
alcohol. Okay? I said to this woman, I respect all your degrees, but your counsel comes from hell and not from God.
Amen.
And she looked at me and she says, how do you know that? I said, because a couple of alcoholics in my family could give you a lesson on how to get off the drugs and off the booze, because they got delivered by the Holy Ghost and his fire, not by getting drunk trying to learn the Word.
Amen.
Was it clear? Listen to what the Word said here. Verse 8, hopefully I'm in the right place. They read from the book of the law of God, making it
clear,
and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. I am not spreading rumors against people. What I am saying is, if you get the wrong spirit teaching you, you're going to be in trouble.
That's right.
Amen.
If you have the wrong spirit pushing information, you're going to know it in your heart, and you better get out fast. And if you need to confront, you do it one to one.
Yes.
You do it one to one.
Amen.
Verse 9. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribes and the Levites, who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drink, and send some to those who have nothing prepared, meaning feed those that don't have anything. Got it?
Amen.
This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's your answer.
Amen.
The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. You say, what does that have to do with me? Has a lot to do with everyone you listen to and you submit to. When you submit to teachers, counselors, etc., if the wrong spirit is pushing, you're going to have an awareness. And you are accountable to the Lord to respond and respect. You can respect their position, you can respect their title or whatever, but when they're off center, use the scripture to respond. Use the word of God to respond. Don't let it be your opinion. Because when this person that I confronted, I had a piece of paper and I had the scriptures.
Amen.
And that's what I told the person. I says, and now you can say it is written. This kind of teaching that you're giving out is maybe you're getting paid well. That's fine with me. I don't have a problem with you getting paid. But I don't like what you're doing. You're encouraging people to get involved with alcohol of different forms. And then you're going to put the word of God in their hearts with booze. I said, the scripture says, don't get drunk with wine. Get drunk with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
My suggestion is you need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I rest my case. What am I saying about the feast? One more scripture. Numbers 29, verse 1. Numbers 29, verse 1. The Feast of Trumpets. On the first day of the seventh month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. It is a day for you to sound the trumpet. As an aroma pleasing to the Lord, prepare a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, seven, etc., etc., etc. What is he looking for? He's looking for us to present. And what did we do today? We presented his firstborn son back to him. We presented back to him his flesh and blood. Because, again, you can look at all the animals, but they are really a foretaste of what Jesus would become. Jesus is the Lamb. He hasn't changed his colors. He's still the Lamb. I want you to bow your heads right now. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I need to obey you.
I need to obey you.
This is your feast.
This is your feast.
This is your new year.
This is your new year.
And I'm expecting signs and wonders.
And I'm expecting signs and wonders.
And when my mouth drops open,
and when my mouth drops open,
as you reveal things to me, I'll know that it's the days of awe. I pray that it's going to be a surprise. That with mighty blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
There's a lot more on that subject, but I think you've got the gist of what I was trying to tell you. It's a special day designed by God to reveal himself to you. Reveal himself to you. Reveal himself to you.